putting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Of the solution and not adding to the problem. It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour, and to this end, we do everything we can to pursue the truth, no matter where it leads. We bring on experts, best-selling authors, to help us understand, you know, what's going on. You know, it's there's nothing wrong with being smart, all right? We've been dumb way too long. It's time to smarten up, even though there are institutions that would like us to be kept in the dark and, you know, treated like mushrooms, as they say. Bruce Thatcher joins us now, speaking of which, author of several books that have been absolutely formative, for my understanding. Adamant Aggressors, How to Recognize and Deal with Them. Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. And his latest, Rise and Decline, Where We Are and What We Can Do About It. Bruce is the founder of History Speaks Today. Bruce, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Bill, I'm doing just great. You know, I wanted to mention, in case you or somebody on in your audience hasn't heard, President Trump and Putin met yesterday. And judging from the press reports and the commentators and so forth, they spent the entire 4.5-hour meeting talking about Russian meddling in our elections.
Yeah, you would think, huh? I mean, in terms of the major things that had to be discussed, let's be target focused on this situation. And it's clear, based on the press, the presser that was conducted afterwards, is that President Trump is not convinced by the information. And maybe what's blocking that, Bruce, and you can tell me better if you know, but all I have is, you know, some observation and some insight here, a little bit from what I hear inside the White House, is the president's kind of brain blocked on this situation because, you know, constantly he's bombarded questioning his validity as president of the United States. And we started to say that, you know, the president needs to kind of get over that. He's not going to change any minds. I mean, that's just what it is. But there are, you know, thousands, millions of people who voted him into office that want him to lead, and he's got to go. The rest of them, you know, they can fall out of the parade if they want. That's all right. And just move forward and make America great with the people that you have with you. And, you know, quit focusing so much on this because it pulls him back. It alters his perspective in much the same way. I'd say the comparison would be like Peter Strzok. We saw his bias and, you know, the actions that he took as the number two man, a significant position there in the FBI, and who claims that his bias somehow had no effect on his ability to conduct his job. And I would say the president is being biased by this deluge of biasness that is headed in his way, all for one purpose, and that is to derail him and make him less than. Let that stuff go. Focus on the great things. You've done some great things in these first 500-plus days, and let's move forward. And I trust his leadership. I trust him enough to – he's a smart guy, and he's going to work out this deal. It's not like, you know, with Putin. This has been going on, you know, for a long time. He's not going to have one meeting and Shazam, Putin is going to come out and say, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up. I told those guys just to play around and they got carried away. We didn't intend to do this. We'll never do it again. Like that was going to happen, right?
well, of course. And the propensity, seeming propensity of Trump to want to win the battle, be totally defensive when somebody is attacking him, does get in the way of at least the public persona of his leadership. But the facts are, as you say, I think that he has done very well. And I'll go back to, we're talking about aggressors and adamant aggressors.
I was going to say, this is your first book.
It is.
Perfect.
Seven years ago. And you know, I'm working on a 5-book digest series on that same subject that I think will be out later this year.
Oh, great.
But, so it's kind of fresh in my mind again, but it particularly came in my mind when Trump was dealing, just a few weeks ago with, Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
And because Trump was behaving in what I thought was a particularly effective fashion with a somebody who is clearly an adamant aggressor, and jury's not in yet. We'll see. History will show, but it looked to me like he was making some progress. Certainly, he was doing some of the right things.
Right.
And I question when we get down to the meeting of with Trump and Putin, I wondered about whether he's doing some of the same kinds of things in that four-hour meeting behind doors, right, which, of course, they're not talking about.
Well, of course. Well, what happened with President Xi with China? You know, they're case in point. We see some movement, and you know, one moment we're going to bomb one another in North Korea, and now all of a sudden, you know, we're starting to have some conversation here. Let's not think that, and I don't think the president thought for any moment. In fact, he talked about how pernicious it was that here you've got these two superpowers with nuclear bombs, and he's, you know, this is severe. And so, but the thing that I'm concerned about is in the publicity, and this counter narrative from the extreme left, Bruce, is that what does this do to queer the negotiations with, you know, with Kim and with China and other aggressors? You know, the way the media and the politicians have pigpiled on this president, they're not doing, you know, they're not doing America any favors here by demonstrating some chink in our armor, are they?
No, they're not. And one of the things that you can absolutely count on this kind of an aggressor to identify clearly and exploit are weaknesses in our country. And we have, maybe not a lot of them, but we have some very serious ones, and this one of national unity is one of them. And the commentators and not just the extreme left, but commentators of all stripes are delight in picking at this president.
Well, John Brennan, what John Brennan had to say was over the top. I mean, this is the former director of the CIA, as if they were so doggone successful with Russia. I mean, this was the administration that gave you the reset button. They didn't know how to spell it correctly. You know, and the mess that we had with Russia. And of course, let's remember that all this meddling and everything took place. Oh, yeah, that would be in the Obama administration. And here it is, you know, clean up on aisle three, Donald Trump, this way. We need you over here to clean this mess up. And Brennan claims that what President Trump did, he says it meets and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. Here we go, impeachment talk.
Yeah. And that's probably what the intention is, but John Brennan and people from the last administration are not in any position to make such claims, although they will. They will always.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Brennan, your people got voted out, okay? We have a new president here. This is the United States of America. We need to get behind this president and be a part of the solution, not add to the problem. And thank you very much for miring up the process. You did America no favors whatsoever with the comments you and others like you. Bruce Thatcher is with us. More from Bruce after this. Stay with us. Bruce Thatcher continues with us. Bruce is the founder of History Speaks Today, a project dedicated to sharing elemental truths learned from accomplishments and failures of those in our past to help us avoid making the same mistakes again and again. As they say, if you fail to remember history, you are doomed to repeat it. And there are some things that we have to do over and over again. And some of this, Bruce, is ludicrous. It's like, well, didn't you learn that when you fell off the roof, the gravity still is in play and it hurts?
We never learn from generation to generation. It seems that and somebody made the comment, the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history.
Is that true? That's a T-shirt, I'm telling you. That is a T-shirt to wear. As you mentioned, Bruce, 4 hours the president met, which was beyond expectation. So they obviously had a chance to go deep into a lot of issues. And as you say, coming out and to hear the media, which I think is a total disservice to our country, is they're fixated on their interpretation of what, you know, the president in their eyes didn't do. I mean, the president was almost in a no-win proposition in this meeting anyway. I mean, I'm glad that he kept it behind closed doors, you know, because I think that's where it needed to be, to where both men could be frank with one another and lay it out and, you know, and begin to build some sort of relationship. I think that Donald Trump has always been willing to do this, and to much dismay of the Democratic Party, but they easily and quickly forget that it was Barack Obama, when he was running for office in his first run, made it clear, said he would be willing to meet with any leader without preconditions. Now, the president, I mean, preconditions already been set. I mean, you know, you've got Russia already being sanctioned left and right. They're on the radar. And then, you know, of course, oh, yeah, we have this little meddling problem to deal with. You know, Putin, what Putin could hope for, even though Mike Huckabee says, well, he wants equal standing with the U.S., you know, I don't. But, you know, I don't, yeah, he'd like that, but he's never going to get that. You know, but what he can hope for, and I would think that what Donald Trump would present to Putin is kind of a vision that he presented to Kim, is that imagine if we could all get along, how would this look? You know, would your people be starving? Would you get more international support? Would there, you know, would there be a better alliance between the U.S. and Russia? After all, you know, together we conquered the Germans in World War II not that long ago, all things considered. So why can't we be friends?
Well, we get to the question of what these leaders and Kim Jong-un or Putin want, and it gets down to, not from a statesman point of view, do they want, there may be that element to their desires, but the question is, what do they personally really want? What's their personal long-term goal? And we don't necessarily know that. I would hope that the CIA and others in intelligence have studied it very carefully and have some profiles on that kind of a question. But we need to deal with a person like this, knowing what is their goal. Kim Jong-un perhaps really has a part of his goal that he wants to, he needs a prosperous country to get the money he wants to do whatever he wants to do with. Putin does too. Putin's country, I mean, the economy is what, like California or New York or something like that. It is not huge by world standards. And you mentioned the sanctions. We have effectively put a vice on his ability to rake in more money for his oligarchs and himself, and a little bit left over for the country. So he wants relief from that. He wants the money to start flowing again. And there's nothing that meddling in our elections has to do with that issue at all. He confronts us or reacts to us in the areas where he perceives, probably accurately, that we have weaknesses. But behind those doors for 4 hours or so, where real conversation, meaningful conversation takes place, it's just possible that Trump, the negotiator, has dealt with some of these other real concerns of Vladimir Putin. And we're not going to hear about it for some time, because it's going to take several meetings, a lot of meetings and time to work out.
That ought to drive the press nuts. I mean, with every meeting, they're just going to go absolutely increasingly ballistic because of their sentiment. I mean, it goes back to the, you know, the essential perspective. I think Charles Krautheimer had said that, you know, if you're looking at someone and you perceive them as your enemy, then they're evil and they're less than and worthy of demise. And that's a loose interpretation, but that, you know, that has been the process, has it not?
That's been the process, and that's been the process from the, on the surface, and it seems that, let's take Putin and Kim, for example, they have become, in the media, they have become the enemy in evil much more since Trump got elected than mm-hmm. there were before then. That's probably not true of Kim, but of Putin. Because the filter through which the pundits and the press see things is political in this country. But, the reality of dealing in the world, I think, is that these people are the leaders of sovereign nations. And whether we like them or not, we need to figure out how to get along with them.
Right.
And I think that that doesn't always involve just being nice to them, and that doesn't, and often doesn't involve just public pronouncements. You gotta communicate with them, and I think that that Trump is probably a lot better at that than most people want to give him credit for.
Mm-hmm. And I think the media itself has to be put in check here, because in a lot of ways I sense, and I've spoken with many experts on this, Bruce, is I think we give Putin way, way too much power and influence, and you know the Democrats are so beside themselves, their bias is sticking out there so blatantly that they are convinced that Putin single-handedly elected Donald Trump and rejected Hillary Clinton. But yet, you know, whether it's President Obama, the Intelligence Committee said didn't change one vote, but the sentiment, the driving sentiment that's blowing up their minds is that, you know, Putin, and Putin kind of smirks. You kind of, every time that comes up, you see that smirk on his face. The guy,
sure.
It's going, you guys are idiots. I can only wish I'm this good, you know?
An expert of the KGB training, Putin knows how to exploit that kind of attitude. He's a master.
Well, if you give that to him, why is he not going to take it, right?
Absolutely.
Sure. I'm going to take it to the bank. And who's giving it to him? You know, it's the Democrats. It's Hillary et al. It's, you know, the media are all doing this. Come on, please. I mean, you demonstrate how ignorant you are about knowing who your enemy is. You give him a lot more authority in place than he deserves.
That's right.
I'm not saying we shouldn't be on guard about it. I mean, we need to be smarter. Like, you know, we've been saying, you know, you got to be smart enough to make sure your password isn't password, John Podesta.
We have to do all the cybersecurity things and all of the other security things that we should be doing, but we don't need to do all of the public theater about it.
Yeah, it so often just gets in the way and adds to the mess, doesn't it, Bruce?
It does.
It really does. Bruce Thatcher has been with us, author, founder of History Speaks Today. Bruce, is always an honor and a privilege to have you on. Appreciate the insight, buddy. Take care.
Thank you, Bill.